Today is the 20th day of April. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Great to be here with you today. Today and every day. Grateful, as always, to come here. Kind of take a place around the global campfire. And take another step forward as a community. And in our own lives. We're working our way, at this point, through the book of Joshua. Today, chapter 21, verse 1 through 22, verse 20. Then the leaders of the tribe of Levi came to consult with Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the leaders of the other tribes of Israel. They came to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan and said, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us towns to live in and pasture lands for our livestock." So by the command of the Lord, the people of Israel gave the Levites the following towns and pasture lands out of their own grants of land. The descendants of Aaron, who were members of the Kohathite clan within the tribe of Levi, were allotted 13 towns that were originally assigned to the tribes of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin. The other families of the Kohathite clan were allotted 10 towns from the tribes of Ephraim, Dan, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. The clan of Gershom was allotted 13 towns from the tribes of Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and the half-tribe of Manasseh in Bashan. The clan of Merari was allotted 12 towns from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Zebulun. So the Israelites obeyed the Lord's command to Moses and assigned these towns and pasture lands to the Levites by casting sacred lots. The Israelites gave the following towns from the tribes of Judah and Simeon to the descendants of Aaron, who were members of the Kohathite clan within the tribe of Levi, since the sacred lot fell to them first. Kiriath Arba, that is, Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, along with its surrounding pasture lands. Arba was an ancestor of Anak, but the open fields beyond the town and the surrounding villages were given to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, as his possession. The following towns with their pasture lands were given to the descendants of Aaron the priest: Hebron, a city of refuge for those who accidentally killed someone; Libna, Jatir, Eshtemoa, Holon, Debir, Ain, Zuta, and Beth Shemesh, 9 towns from these 2 tribes. From the tribe of Benjamin, the priests were given the following towns with their pasture lands: Gibeon, Geba, Anathoth, and Almon, 4 towns. So in all, 13 towns with their pasture lands were given to the priests, the descendants of Aaron. The rest of the Kohathite clan from the tribe of Levi was allotted the following towns and pasture lands from the tribe of Ephraim: Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, a city of refuge for those who accidentally killed someone; Gezer, Kibzaim, and Bet-Horon, 4 towns. The following towns and pasture lands were allotted to the priests from the tribe of Dan: Eltika, Gibbethon, Ajalon, and Gat Rimmon, 4 towns. The half-tribe of Manasseh allotted the following towns with their pasture lands to the priests: Taanach and Gat Rimmon, 2 towns. So in all, 10 towns with their pasture lands were given to the rest of the Kohathite clan. The descendants of Gershon, another clan within the tribe of Levi, received the following towns with their pasture lands from the half-tribe of Manasseh: Golan in Bashan, a city of refuge for those who accidentally killed someone, and Be'eshtera, 2 towns. From the tribe of Issachar, they received the following towns with their pasture lands: Kishion, Dabarat, Jarmut, and Enganim, 4 towns. From the tribe of Asher, they received the following towns with their pasture lands: Mishal, Abdon, Helkat, and Rehob, 4 towns. From the tribe of Naphtali, they received the following towns with their pasture lands: Kadesh in Galilee, a city of refuge for those who accidentally killed someone; Hamath Dor and Kartan, three towns. So in all, 13 towns with their pasture lands were allotted to the clan of Gershon. The rest of the Levites, the Merari clan, were given the following towns with their pasture lands from the tribe of Zebulun: Jokneam, Karta, Dimna, and Nahalal, four towns. From the tribe of Reuben, they received the following towns with their pasture lands: Bezer, Jahaz, Kedemot, and Mephahat, four towns. From the tribe of Gad, they received the following towns with their pasture lands: Ramoth and Gilead, a city of refuge for those who accidentally killed someone; Mahanaim, Heshbon, and Jazer, four towns. So in all, 12 towns were allotted to the clan of Merari. The total number of towns and pasture lands within Israelite territory given to the Levites came to 48. Every one of these towns had pasture land surrounding it. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had solemnly promised their ancestors. None of their enemies could stand against them, for the Lord helped them conquer all their enemies. Not a single one of all the good promises the Lord had given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Everything he had spoken came true. Then Joshua called together the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. He told them, "You have done as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and you have obeyed every order I have given you. During all this time, you have not deserted the other tribes. You have been careful to obey the commands of the Lord your God, right up to the present day. And now, the Lord your God has given the other tribes rest, as he promised them. So go back home, to the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, as your possession on the east side of the Jordan River. But be very careful to obey all the commands and the instructions that Moses gave to you of the Lord your God. Walk in all his ways, obey his commands, hold firmly to him, and serve him with all your heart and all your soul." So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went home. Moses had given the land of Bashan east of the Jordan River to the half-tribe of Manasseh. The other half of the tribe was given land west of the Jordan. As Joshua sent them away and blessed them, he said to them, "Go back to your homes with the great wealth you have taken from your enemies, the vast herds of livestock, the silver, gold, bronze, and iron, and the large supply of clothing. Share the plunder with your relatives." So the men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh left the rest of Israel at Shiloh in the land of Canaan. They started the journey back to their own land of Gilead, the territory that belonged to them according to the Lord's command through Moses. But while they were still in Canaan, and when they came to a place called Gelilot, near the Jordan River, the men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh stopped to build a large and imposing altar. The rest of Israel heard that the people of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh had built an altar at Gelilot, at the edge of the land of Canaan, on the west side of the Jordan River. So the whole community of Israel gathered at Shiloh and prepared to go to war against them. First, however, they sent a delegation led by Phinehas, son of Eleazar the priest, to talk with the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. In this delegation were 10 leaders of Israel, one from each of the 10 tribes, and each the head of his family within the clans of Israel. When they arrived in the land of Gilead, they said to the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, The whole community of the Lord demands to know why you are betraying the God of Israel. How could you turn away from the Lord and build an altar for yourselves in rebellion against him? Was our sin at Peor not enough? To this day we are not fully cleansed of it. Even after the plague that struck the entire community of the Lord, and yet today you are turning away from following the Lord. If you rebel against the Lord today, he will be angry with all of us tomorrow. If you need the altar because the land you possess is defiled, then join us in the Lord's land, where the tabernacle of the Lord is situated, and share our land with us. But do not rebel against the Lord or against us by building an altar other than the one true altar of the Lord our God. Didn't divine anger fall on the entire community of Israel when Achan, a member of the clan of Zerah, sinned by stealing the things set apart for the Lord? He was not the only one who died because of his sin. Luke 20:1-26. One day, as Jesus was teaching the people and preaching the good news in the temple, the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders came up to him. They demanded, "By what authority are you doing all these things? Who gave you the right?" "Let me ask you a question first," he replied. "Did John's authority to baptize come from heaven, or was it merely human?" They talked it over among themselves. "If we say it was from heaven, he will ask why we didn't believe John. But if we say it was merely human, the people will stone us because they are convinced John was a prophet." So they finally replied that they didn't know. And Jesus responded, "Then I won't tell you by what authority I do these things." And Jesus turned to the people again and told them this story. A man planted a vineyard, leased it to tenant farmers, and moved to another country to live for several years. The time of the grape harvest, he sent one of his servants to collect his share of the crop. But the farmers attacked the servant, beat him up, and sent him back empty-handed. So the owner sent another servant, but they also insulted him, beat him up, and sent him away empty-handed. A third man was sent, and they wounded him and chased him away. "What will I do?" the owner asked himself. "I know. I'll send my cherished son. Surely they will respect him." But when the tenant farmers saw his son, they said to each other, "Here comes the heir to the estate. Let's kill him and get the estate for ourselves." So they dragged him out of the vineyard and murdered him. "What do you suppose the owner of the vineyard will do to them?" Jesus asked. "I'll tell you. He will come and kill those farmers and lease the vineyards to others." "How terrible that such a thing should ever happen," his listeners protested. Jesus looked at them and said, "Then what does this scripture mean? The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. Everyone who stumbles over that stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone it falls on." The teachers of religious law and the leading priests wanted to arrest Jesus immediately because they realized he was telling the story against them. They were the wicked farmers, but they were afraid of the people's reaction. Watching for their opportunity, the leaders sent spies pretending to be honest men. They tried to get Jesus to say something that could be reported to the Roman governor, so he would arrest Jesus. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you speak and teach what is right and are not influenced by what others think. You teach the way of God truthfully. Now, tell us, is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" He saw through their trickery and said, show me a Roman coin. Whose picture and title are stamped on it? Caesar's, they replied. Well then, he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. So they failed to trap him by what he said in front of the people. Instead, they were amazed by his answer, and they became silent. Psalm 89, 1-13. A Psalm of Ethan the Ezrahite. I will sing of the Lord's unfailing love forever. Young and old will hear of your faithfulness. Your unfailing love will last forever. Your faithfulness is as enduring as the heavens. The Lord said, I have made a covenant with David, my chosen servant. I have sworn this oath to him. I will establish your descendants as kings forever. They will sit on your throne from now until eternity. All heaven will praise your great wonders, Lord. Myriads of angels will praise you for your faithfulness. For who in all of heaven can compare with the Lord? What mightiest angel is anything like the Lord? The highest angelic powers stand in awe of God. He is far more awesome than all who surround his throne. O Lord, God of heaven's armies, where is there anyone as mighty as you, O Lord? You are entirely faithful. You rule the oceans. You subdue their storm-tossed waves. You crushed the great sea monster. You scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours, and the earth is yours. Everything in the world is yours. You created it all. You created north and south. Mount Tabor and Mount Hermon praise your name. Powerful is your arm. Strong is your hand. Your right hand is lifted high in glorious strength. Proverbs 13, 15, and 16. A person with good sense is respected. A treacherous person is headed for destruction. Wise people think before they act. Fools don't, and even brag about their foolishness. Okay, so like investigative journalism is something we're familiar with. And like exposés, you know, and searching down like cold crimes and all this kind of stuff. This is all over our culture. It's fascinating that like we're looking for those sound bites where there's a gotcha moment, where there's this exposure of some sort. And, well, I mean, typically, it's just a soundbite. It, in no way, tells the whole story. And so often, like, the real people's lives are completely destroyed. Without, it, like, in some kind of scandal, but it's mostly hearsay and... Well, basically, there's not the whole story. And that's kind of like a sad critique on our culture. Everything can be turned into a soundbite. A whole person's life can become a consumable form of news, you know, that is supported by, it's turned into a product sold by advertising and marketing. So Jesus had to deal with that kind of mindset. Constantly, though. So it's not like this is a new thing. It just has its particular look and feel in the time that we live in. But this mindset is all throughout the Gospels, and we see it clearly in today's reading from Luke. So there's a group of priests. We're talking about very educated, very elite people here, very powerful people, at least religiously. So religious teachers and elders and priests are confronting Jesus, and they're gonna take him down. They're gonna use their wits, their might, their influence, their intimidation, and try to catch him, try to get this gotcha soundbite that they can then use against him. So they come at him and try to catch him and hit him. They go after his influence first. But who told you could do any of this? Where is the authority? By whose authority are you doing these things? Who gave you the right? I mean, it's brilliant how Jesus handles this, because he can see exactly what's happening here. And so he responds by turning the whole tables on them and asking about John the Baptist's authority, whether or not it was heaven sent, because how they answered that question is how they would respond to his own answer. Jesus' ultimate answer would be, how do you ask me this question when you can see, the lame are walking, the blind are seeing, the dead are being raised, healing and restoration, the kingdom of God is being proclaimed. So why do you ask me, where the authority comes from? It's the same as John. So he just flips it and asks them about John. So the trap that they set for Jesus is like the trap that they find themselves in. If we say he was from heaven, then he's going to ask why we didn't believe in John. But if we say it was just from a human perspective, people are going to stone us because they think he's a prophet. So they finally have to reply they don't know. And so Jesus just steps back and is like, well, then you wouldn't understand and wouldn't believe me. I'm not going to answer you either. Then they send spies to try to get him into a political controversy, something against Rome. So they're coming. We know you speak the truth. We know you do what's right. We know you're not influenced by what people think. You teach only the way of God truthfully. So help us out here. What do you think? Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Again, he sees right through all this. And again, it's a brilliant answer. Let me see a coin. Whose picture is this? And whose insignia is this? Caesar's, they reply. Then give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. That shuts them down. Silence silences them. It's that powerful. So they fail to trap him, and they instead are amazed. Malicious, traps, word traps, all around us. They happen in our workplace, they happen in our school, they happen in our homes. Among our family. If Jesus is our model, then the goal is that there isn't anything to hide. Jesus looks for the plot that is behind the story, what is propelling the story. Not the imaging, but the truth. So he looked for the reasons why the questions were flying at him. And in seeing the motive, he knew how to respond to what was really going on. And his responses expose the motives. So that allows the truth to come and shine and be present. Jesus didn't just get aggressive or dismissive or arrogant or big and loud. He just exposed the truth. He brought the truth into the conversation. So may we learn to do the same thing and follow in his footsteps, which begins with observing ourselves and the things that we're telling ourselves. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you into that. Lead us into all truth. And as we have asked and confessed before, that starts with us and goes outward. It begins with what we have control over, ourselves. It begins with where the power struggle in us is. And so, Holy Spirit, come lead us into all truth about ourselves. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app is home base as well. And so be familiar on both counts. Be familiar with both. And be connected. Check out the community section. This is where to be connected. Well, to the prayer wall, but also to the different links to the social media platforms that we participate in. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources there for the journey that, well, we're on it now. We're too far into this to jump ship now, right? It's too far to swim back to the beginning of the year. And trying to swim all the way to the end of the year, why not stay on the ship, right? And, so we're in this together now. So anyway, check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources there for this journey that we have embarked on together. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, the mission here to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anyone who will listen anywhere on this planet, any time of day or night. And to build community around that rhythm so that no one has to be alone. And that rhythm is just showing up. Showing up. When we show up for ourselves, we are showing up for each other. And that builds a global campfire and keeps it burning constantly. Every day. So every day when we come in here and we find our place, someone has just been here. It was their place, just a little before yours. They kept it warm. And you know what? There's a bunch of us here right now, like, but then we'll leave here. But as we're walking out, others are stepping in. Like, even as we're here right now, others are stepping in and finding places. And they're going to be, you know, just getting to the New Testament about the time that we leave. Like, this isn't ever, like, ever ongoing, never stopping kind of thing. No one has to be alone. That's just part of the rhythm here around the global campfire. So if that is life-giving to you, thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this is Resting in God's Shadow. I am behind. I just listened to March 31st, and I wanted to lift up a woman had called in for her friend. I believe she said her friend's name was Kim, and she is in the hospital. I think she said that she had a bowel obstruction, had to have surgery, that she was recovering well, was doing well, was starting to eat, and then took a turn for the worse, and they had to put an NG tube in to give her nutrients and supplements. So, Father God, I just lift up this woman that is in the hospital to your throne of mercy and grace, Heavenly Father. I pray that you make your presence known to her, that she feels your presence while she is going through this. And I know that obviously this is much past, and hopefully she's fully recovered and home, but still, Heavenly Father, time has no bounds. You do not live within time. Time lives within you. So I pray that she feels your presence. She feels your peace. I pray for your provision, Heavenly Father, spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially. I pray your blessing over her in the name of Jesus. I pray you continue to heal her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. And I also lift up her friends and her support, that she knows she's cared for and loved in the natural, and that people come around her and provide her with the support and the care that she needs. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the good, good Father that you are. We glorify you, we praise you, and we exalt you in all of this. It is in your mighty name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Hi, everyone. It's Christy in Kentucky. I am sitting outside right now in the backyard. Such a beautiful night. It's April the 15th, and the sun's going down. The weather is perfect. You know, it's one of those evenings where it's not hot, it's not cold. There's a gentle breeze every once in a while, but it's just perfect. The only thing is missing is my husband sitting next to me. And I just have to say to Dr. John, I heard the pain in your voice, sir. It's been 1 year. We all grieve with you. And we all grieve for each other. I know you miss your wife. And I can just hear it. And for all of those who've lost a spouse, I just want to pray for all of you and for me. Father, we love you and we praise you. And whether it was a spouse or a child, an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, a parent, Father, this is hard. But we know you know that. And we know that you're traveling this road with us. And for that, we give you all praise, honor, and glory. We love you, Jesus.
Hi, y'all. This is Taken with Love from Louisiana. I just heard Just Judy, and I loved your prayer message and requests for Shannon and her husband. You came across as being just a beautiful mom, just so concerned for your children. I'm so sorry that Brian has ALS. I cannot even imagine, not even imagine how trapped he might feel. I pray in Jesus' name that God would sustain him, that he would empower his wife to see things sunny. I know they're not sunny. You said it was sadness going on at the house, and it's because they're under so much. But your love, Just Judy, is resonating loud and clear to them. Thank you for being such a great picture of a mom who cares so deeply for her children. God's using you. He is truly using you to spread the gospel, share the love, pray for them, and trust Jesus to do what only He can do. I pray that God would empower you with strength and energy, and I pray that people will come and help you. I pray that things would change because the dabbers are praying. I pray that God would show you how He is showing up on your behalf. I pray all of this in Jesus' mighty and matchless name. God bless y'all. Bye-bye.
Hey, Dad family. This is Kristen, a.k.a. Carson Me, and I am calling in again for my mother-in-law. She had the heart cath today, and it was not successful. The plan is for her to go to Fort Worth and have an actual open heart surgery. So we are just praying. Lord, Father God, we just lift up Emily to you, into your throne room of grace. We lift up her and her family, Lord God. We just pray for peace and comfort in this situation. And Lord, we just pray that you would just supernaturally heal her heart. But if your healing comes through surgery, Lord, bless the hands of the surgeons and the staff that are assisting Emily. We just pray that you would just heal her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. You would open up all those arteries. You would cause the circulation to return. Let her feel better than she has in years, Lord God. Just restore her and just give peace and comfort to her and her family during this process. And Lord, just let it be a testimony of your healing grace. We just pray these things in your mighty, matchless name, and we thank you in advance for everything that you're doing. In Yeshua's mighty, matchless name, amen.
Hello, Dappers. This is Kay from Ohio. Just Judy from California. I listened to you as you called it in your prayer request, and you kept saying, I'm nobody. So then God was like, yep, you get to pray for her. I know you're making yourself small, so that we will pray for Beverly, and we'll pray for Brian, and we'll pray for Shannon. But I'm praying for you as you hold everyone up, as you're pacing the floor, as you're petitioning God, as you're laying before him as his prayer warrior. I pray that God strengthens you, strengthen your shoulders as you bear everything, as you visit everybody, as you try to cheer up everybody in only a way that you can do. I'm praying for God to strengthen you as he strengthens Beverly, as he strengthens Shannon, and as he strengthens Brian. God, you heard the prayer request. You've heard it several times. I ask that you visit Beverly at the hospital. Be with Brian, wherever he is that day. And Shannon, show them your love, God. We know that you're able to heal on this side of heaven. God, we're asking that your will be done. And whatever that means, bring peace to the family. That your will, your way, nothing more, nothing less. You are still faithful and you are still kind. Give this family the strength to stand on your word and trust you, no matter what that means. And that they will be a living testimony to everyone around them, no matter what you choose to do and how you choose to bless his family. Thank you, great God.
Hi, family. This is His Little Cherie in Canada. I'm calling to let Titus 2 from Maryland know that I'm saying a prayer for you this morning. And for those that I know that are trying to have children, and for anyone in this community who is praying for a baby. I pray, Father, that these beloved children of yours would be given the gift of children themselves. And Father, that you would give them grace in the waiting, that you would guide them into all that you want for them, that you'd empower them to trust you and to rest in knowing that your will is what is best for them. So I thank you for that. And I ask you for this in Jesus' name, amen.